do is this. We're going to just have some of our current shepherds reflect with us a little bit on what shepherdhood means in their experience, so that you can hear from them a little bit about their shepherding experience, what it means to be a shepherd, what are some of the delights of being a shepherd, what are some of the difficulties of being a shepherd, those type of things, so that you can get a feel for, okay, that's what a shepherd's doing. I think this person would also be a good fit for that. You know, those type of things, just to get us brainstorming a little bit. And we'll provide some opportunity for you to ask questions of our current shepherds. Right now we have 7 shepherds. You know, I think most of us are used to that language, but if you're not, we say the word shepherd. We'll talk about this next week. Many churches of Christ say the word elders. We mean the same things. We just switch the language a little bit to match what our shepherds do. We have 7 shepherds right now, 4 of whom are here today, 3 of whom are traveling. So Jeff Dethridge isn't here today. He's one of our shepherds. He's off traveling. And then Chris and Carolyn Metcalf are both shepherds at East County. They're down in California, so they're not here today either. So we'll introduce the other 4 in just a moment, but you won't see those 3 today. It's not because they're second string. You know, it's not because we didn't ask to hear from them. They're not here today, so they don't get to share. Okay, but before we do that, we wanted to offer just a reminder, or maybe if you haven't been here very long, an introduction to what the eldership, shepherdhood, has looked like at East County over the years. When did we first have shepherds? Did we have a time where we didn't have shepherds? Why? What did we do during that time? When did we start with new shepherds again? And then, you know, significant moments like 2016, when the shepherds went from, you know, exclusively male to male and female, etc. So Dan knows that history a little bit, so I'm going to pass the mic along to him. You're welcome to stand up here if you want to, yeah. And he's just going to share a little bit about the history before we bring up the current shepherds and talk with them.
Hi. So I dug out last night a little bit from our 50th anniversary celebration that you might remember about 3 years ago. So 1972, this church began, and I really hope Marty, and I'm sad my sister isn't here, but Janelle, all of you with good memories of the beginnings can chime in any moment you feel like I'm in error, which could happen. So 1972, this church began. Shortly after that, some of the founding members were elected, I guess you would say back then, as elders, we called them back then. So some of those original ones were Gerald Bristol, Dudley Collins, Bruce Brown, Sam Stevens. I can't remember if Joel Glenn was there, Marty, or do you remember? I don't think he was there yet. Keith Ferris. And I think Don Nielsen. Are the Nielsens here? No. Okay. And that was pretty early. Yeah. So there were founding elders at that time. Then, after a few years, we did have a split, most of you will recall, which then formed the Metro Church of Christ. So some of our elders went to Metro. Some of them stayed here. Shortly after that, Gerald Bristol passed away. And Carolyn Ferris, wife of Keith Ferris, passed away. So we lost Gerald. Keith stepped down because he didn't feel like he should carry on at that point. And so the other elders, which I think were just Bruce Brown and maybe one other person, didn't feel like they should carry that alone. So we kind of dissolved the eldership and began what we called back then the leadership group. So that was a committee. I'll just share some names that were on that first committee. Don Boderman, some of you know Don. He was here. Bruce Brown, who had been an elder. Keith Ferris, who had been an elder. Roger Curtis, of course. Lonnie Brenninger at that time. Keith Leffler and myself were kind of made up that first leadership group. And that continued for quite a while and also led to the hiring of Mark Love. So Mark and Nancy moved here, I think, in 91. And a year or two after Mark was here, we felt like it was maybe time to have elders again. So that was kind of the reinstitution of having elders at East County. What else? Anything else you can think of that would be good to say? Yeah, help me with that, people that have been here. From elder to shepherd, that seems like it wasn't all that long ago. Yeah, which, what year would that have been, Pete? Yeah.
You and Merrill, my first Sunday, you were standing up being ordained.
What year was that?
Fall of 2000-ish.
Yeah. Okay, longer ago than I thought. Yeah, who was that? I kind of am blanking about that. Yeah. 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 No, that was Bill Hunt. Bill Hunt was part of that. Yeah. Thank you. That's helpful.
Okay. And so here's the, thanks, Dan, for that. Here's the list of people who have been elders slash shepherds over the years, just to give you a sense of it. We've already mentioned Gerald Bristol, Dudley Collins, Bruce Brown, Sam Stevens, Joel Glenn, Don Nielsen, Paul Nielsen's dad, Keith Ferris, Brian's dad, of course, Merrill Allen, Bob Sanders, Lonnie Brenninger, Gary Tandy was a shepherd here, of course, Dan Coburn, John Wolfgang was a shepherd here, Roger Curtis, Pete Wilson, Alan Evans, Kevin Sipple was a shepherd here, Mark Clark, and then Jeff Deathridge. I don't remember what year was Jeff's first year. Did he start same year as you, Wendy? Maybe the maybe the cycle before. Okay. And then Brian Ferris, and in 2016, Linda Ferris and Wendy Wolfgang became shepherds, and Brian as well, but Wendy and Linda, our first female shepherds. And then in 2022, which was our most recent shepherd discernment process, I believe, we added Carolyn Metcalf, Chris Metcalf, and Lewis Robinson. So those are names, if you know those people, those are names of some of the shepherds we've had in the past. Okay, so let's do this. Let's just offer a prayer of blessing on our time this morning, and a prayer of blessing on this whole discernment process. And then we will invite our current shepherds up, and we'll have them reflect back with us just a little bit, so you can be thinking of questions you may want to ask of them after they're done sharing a little bit. Okay, so join me in prayer, if you will. God, we invite you through your Spirit into our presence. Open our hearts and minds. Show us your shepherds at East County. Grant us humility, patience, and wisdom in this discernment process. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so let's have our current shepherds come up and grab a seat up here, if you will.
So for you two, one for both of you.
Test. Okay, so along with Jeff and Carolyn and Chris, we also have Brian Ferris as one of our current shepherds, Linda Ferris, of course, Wendy Wolfgang, and Lewis Robinson. So maybe we'll just go across. Lou, if you don't mind, we start with you. Let's just go across, and if you can recall, tell us when you started here at East County, what other roles you had, and then when you started as a shepherd, for those who may not know or who have forgotten.
I'm not sure I can remember all that.
Yeah.
And I want to note that Wendy said she was not going to let me have the mic. And Wendy, I'm first.
This is the reason she meant it. Yeah.
Okay, so I think I arrived at East County in 2002. At least that's my memory of it, approximately. Arrived here, was minister of the word for a number of years, and I think I became a shepherd, as you said, in 2022, so 3 years ago, and here I am.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, I thought he was going to go on and on. That's my job. You know, this is a total shock to me that if I did my math right, and that is always up for question, it's been 9 years for us, which I cannot even believe is real. And yet it is. But what am I supposed to, what are we saying? We're saying how
when you came, oh goodness, when you came to East County?
Oh, and when we came to East County.
Are there any other roles you filled at East County and when you became a shepherd?
Oh. Well, I like to think I filled many roles. I taught a lot downstairs with kids when I came, and when we were doing another curriculum, I did the artwork for it. Rhonda got me started on that. And I think we came, I asked John, and he said he didn't remember, which really panics me, because if he doesn't remember, we're in trouble. But I think it was 1997. I'm not sure about that, but.
No.
We were here in 1994.
Yes.
Okay. Go, yeah.
Brian and I. Huh. Yeah, but I'm thinking when we got married, we were here a year. So in 78, we were married, and we were here a year, and then we lived in California for many years. We came back in 95, and so we've been here 30 years this year? Okay, and we came back in 95 specifically because my dad was diagnosed with cancer, and we got to be with him for 3 years. I was the church admin secretary. I can't think of when I started. I just know I knew I quit when my granddaughter was born. Mm-hmm. But I think I was in the church office for, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah. And so my dates are very similar to hers. And as far as roles that filled. I was on MSG, been down in teaching class for a number of years, and I think I've always done that with some or less regularity. And have I answered all the questions? Yes.
And you became a shepherd same year as Linda?
Same year, yeah. So Mark Clark, Wendy, Linda, and myself.
Okay. 2016 then.
2016.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so here are the questions I asked them to prepare for, to reflect on with you. And then again, we can ask questions as a congregation afterward, but just to get us thinking about this just a little bit. First is just, you know, what does being a shepherd mean to you? What has your shepherd experience taught you about being a shepherd? We don't have to go in any particular order. Just if you each could share a couple thoughts. So I don't know, Wendy, you have a mic handy, so how about you start?
So she can go on and on.
Well, that's the truth. I can. To me, being a shepherd was really complicated for me because I come from a tradition that still is not using women in any capacity in worship, and I felt worried about, you know, the college that I went to was a Christian college in Florida, and I still have very dear friends from there, and I knew that was going to change things for me and my family. You know, Peter's here, and I am thrilled about that, but I have other brothers and sisters who had a problem with it, and I knew they would. So there was that kind of fear and dread, but there was also just absolutely honored that people saw me that way. I did not see myself as any kind of a leader. And so, yeah, it was complicated.
Wow. I appreciate the complexity of that for you, Wendy. Thank you for lifting that up. So a couple of thoughts. One, after a fairly long tenure here and being here as a minister, I think in part it was like, okay, I've been a leader here. It's time for others. So I feel a little ambivalence around being a shepherd because of that. And I also appreciate the affirmation of the church and the congregation in calling me to this place. In my present work, I have opportunity to reflect and read Psalm 23 fairly regularly, which I think in earlier part of my life, I thought, you know, that's kind of a threadbare psalm. We all know it so well. I don't feel that way any longer. I love that. It is just lovely language of invitation. So the Lord is our shepherd, and I hope to a degree has guided my way in being a shepherd. And so I like to think of my role as a shepherd as one who brings goodness and mercy. And I do that in a very limited, aging mind and body. Mm-hmm. And I hope with appropriate humility.
Thanks.
I'll make you go last. I'm reminded of the parable of the sheep, where there's 100 sheep. Got to tell the story at TOK last week. It was great. Shepherd's counting all of them, and one's missing. And so he leaves the 99. He's not worried about the 99 together. My attention as a shepherd is drawn purposefully towards those on the periphery. Who's not getting attention? Who is not the squeaky wheel? Who's not okay? And yet there is great acknowledgement of my lack of ability to make a difference that is not within me to protect the sheep on my own. I can be with sheep that are hurting, but I can't fix all the problems. I can listen to their difficulties, but I can't always be wise enough to discern and arbitrate. And so that's not one of my job descriptors. As I looked at Shepherd from afar when we were in California before we moved up 30 years ago, I heard Dad talking about the amazing men that he was a shepherd with. He had such deep respect for Gary and Peter and John, and he'd describe how wise and insightful they were, and I went, that's amazing. Because I was used to shepherds who decided what carpet color there was, and if church services would change format or time or whatever. And that was just more of business that was important, that didn't draw me, but to be attentive to the periphery and to dedicate myself to prayer, that did interest me. And as I look at you, I see all of you with skills that are shepherding skills, because you care about someone else beside yourself or you wouldn't be here. And none of us are able to be the good shepherd. So those are some of the things that ruminate, that bounce around in my head as I think of how do I define shepherd? What is my role? What is it not?
I came to this the way Wendy did, with a lot of the weight of my upbringing and my experience in the Church of Christ. And I'm trying to think honestly. It wasn't something I ran toward as a desire, but I found my way into it through having been with the ministers as the admin at the church for the years, because I was allowed to be in, I was in meetings with them, and I always prayed for them and their families, and then the other shepherds that were not in that room as well, and it became that, it grew in me, the prayerfulness of all of that. The once upon a time, not now and not recently, I had the directory memorized in everybody's children because I'm a visual learner. So when I would type and correct it, when I would swim my laps, I would go through it and I would pray for all the families and all their children. And so that built up this, I don't know, this edifice of prayer inside of me that all of you exist inside of for me, that these are our people. And so that was a place I could enter into it, because Wendy and I sat at my table in my nook across from one another, and it was kind of that, I can't let this other person do this by themselves. This was a hard thing. There was something else about all that. No, but that's true. The season before Wendy and I became shepherds, I got a call. The first time Brian and I have ever taken a vacation to Hawaii, and I'm in Hawaii, and I get this call from one of you, you know who you are, out of the blue, and asking if we should put my name forward. And this was the time before we became shepherds. And I couldn't do it. I said, you know, there are people here I love that are so, this would be so hard for them. I can't do that right now. And then after that, the thing that stands out in my mind is there was a bulletin board. We did it on a Wednesday night, maybe. And it had the lines, women should be shepherds on one side, and women should not be shepherds on the other side. And in the middle, it said, I don't know. I want to know more about this. And we all had stickers. And we got up, and as groups or just go, you know, we put the sticker, but you could tell that when people put the stickers on, they were like, I'm really far on this no, because they would be on like the frame of the bulletin board, or they were really on the frame of the bulletin board or over here. But most of them were in the middle, but they leaned, you know, to the left or to the right, and I thought, okay, we're still progressing in this. And I'm a person that prayer is a big part of my life, and so I kept praying about it, and I kept praying about it. And if I got anything at all in my spirit, it was let your church decide. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I landed.
Thank you. Well, I hope you being the congregation, are beginning to hear just a few themes that matter most to our current shepherds. Things like, I'm trying to follow after the good shepherd. I can't be everything the good shepherd is, but I am trying to model myself after that, offer goodness and mercy. I'm entering in not because I was desiring this role. I don't desire to have leadership and power over others, but because the community said, I think you should be in this role, and I wanted to listen to that, even if I didn't feel like I could do that. They emphasized this prayer. Prayerful spirit becomes part of what it means to be a shepherd. Are you one who's just going to be praying for people all the time, which is a major part of what the shepherds are doing, what they do every time they meet together, in fact. Attending to the sheep on the margin, looking around to see who is in need of care and nurturing, that pastoral role. These are some of the themes, these are some of the ideas that again, we're thinking about as we're wondering who are the other shepherds in our congregation? Who are the people doing that type of thing? Another part of being a shepherd, of course, is just they bring a lifetime of wisdom and experience to spiritual questions that arise in our congregation on occasion. Sometimes those spiritual questions are something exciting that we're talking about and doing and exploring in our journey forward. Sometimes they're difficult, they're challenges, and the shepherds are trying to walk with two people who are having a disagreement in our congregation, walk through that disagreement together. So again, bringing this lifetime of experience and wisdom into exciting and difficult pastoral situations. Okay, so those are some of the themes I'm hearing. Here's the second question, second and third, it's tied together. And that is this. I'd like to ask from each of them, just so you can get a sense of it. What are some of the joys of this role? You know, there is goodness to being in this role, right? But it's not always easy. There are, and let's be honest, burdens with every role we carry, right? There's a burden being the administrative assistant. There are. But there's great joys, too. There's burden to being the minister, and there's great joys to it. It is the same with MSG. It is the same with the shepherds. There's joys to what they do, and there's difficulties. And so I've just asked them to reflect back honestly with us, where would they place themselves on this list? How would they describe some of their delights and some of their difficulties in this role? Again, we've heard a little bit of it already, but maybe we could hear more explicitly from each of them on that.
Where's the joy?
Amen.
I am happily, joyfully. One of the things that I feel whenever it's my time to be before you for the benediction, or when I'm given opportunity at other parts of our service, it's kind of, as a mom, I think about this the way I raised my children, in that the world will always beat you up. The world will always make you, there's that thing that sits on your head. Whatever struggle or problem you have in your life, pressing you down. And so I have made it, I want to believe I have made it the hallmark of what I've done, that I will always bring a blessing. I will always find a way to speak blessing over you, over your children, to bring, to ask for healing, to ask for what it is you need most. And that fills me, just the fact that because I love you and because I have experienced that for many years, that gives me joy. Do you have to do the other one at the same time?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah. Let's do,
okay. I have had no training for any of this. I was, you know, that Brian, like when he was a little boy, they would do things with boys in the churches of Christ that, you know, you're going to get ready for leadership. You're going to do stuff. And apart from church, I avoided drama, speech, anything that had to do, that put you up in front of everybody. That's not my thing. Mm-hmm. My heart rate is like, my mother had white coat, high blood pressure. I have the get in front of everybody and talk about yourself blood pressure. so that's a small thing for me. That's not a big burden, but it's like I think of June Brenninger. You know, June should have been in this spot. You know, people that we know and love and that have gone. There's other better people, but that's a small burden.
Yeah.
And the bigger burden is I don't know how to fix it. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to make this better. I don't know how to make, you know, you happy because you're unhappy with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fix any of that. But that's a thing that I bathe in prayer and ask God to be God of.
Thanks.
Hello, Margaret. Where's the joy? It's a joy to be here among you and know that I pay special attention because I know that when we get together, we're going to talk through our concerns for you and our joys for you. And so it is always a joy to be among you in this place and to see you out there. And so that's the biggest joy, is I know that I'm one of us. If you remember that Lord's meditation up here with Mike, where he said, you know, bikers drive down the road and they sort of do, you know, one finger, two finger acknowledgement, you know, hi. And that's all it is. It's just, my friend, I know you. We were motorcycle riders. And it's sort of like, I don't even have to talk to you on Sunday, even though I really love and admire Kevin Sipple, just to be here in this room with him. So that's a joy to me. Burden there, when I desired to be a shepherd, be like Roger, desiring it and being it are two different things. There's a lot of weight to care. Any parent knows that, right? Any good friend that's walked with someone for a long time knows that. And I frankly would not do this by myself, but to share it with the other wise people that I respect so much, including my wife, is something that I can do. You know, I can pick up my corner of the stretcher. You know, I can't do it all, but I can share it. And so we come together and we share our burdens and pray together for that. So, yeah.
Brian.
Yeah. That was an exceptional thing. I have a friend in prison that I can't call him. I can go visit him during visiting hours. But when he calls, I take it whenever I can. There's very few times I don't take it. And yes, I knew that poker night would continue for a little bit longer so I could come back to it. But this call, it would be weeks if I didn't take it now. So that's an exception. I don't have lots of interrupting calls.
Excuse me.
I'll let my wife answer this question.
I can't say that in all honesty. Okay, I want to say that, like, because there's a new clinic coming for compassion, it's at the end of May, please sign up. He gets calls, especially in a month where he has compassion. It's everybody and their Aunt Sally wants his opinion about something because he's good and he's done it for such a long time and he knows a lot of stuff that other people don't know. So, I think that's not shepherding stuff.
And I think it's fair to say that, in line with Shannon's question there, the shepherding role is not a role that you can just plan a schedule around. It's just not. The pastoring component of it, the prayerful component of it, is based on real life, and real life doesn't follow a timeline or schedule. And so there are those absolute interruptions, and that is difficult for our planned lives with our families and our kids and our friends. The interruptions come because the pastoral needs come and the shepherds make themselves available for those moments.
I will say that it's important, not just in your work life, but in your home life. And if you are called to be an MSG or as a shepherd, that there are still times when you need to get away and not take a phone call. Or to take the phone call and say, I am in Hawaii, and I need not to answer this and talk with you right now. Can we schedule another time? Or, you know, let me suggest that this person or this person might be a better person to talk with you right now.
And I want to say that he often needs to take those things absolutely because it's who he is inside.
That's
and
right.
I recognize that. He has to continue to be this person that he is. I mean, it would be impossible for him to stop, and he shouldn't. But I'm just like a hand on his shoulder occasionally going, hello, I haven't talked to you for 5 minutes today. So, yes, I have a day each week that has my name on it. So that's... It's good to be able to have boundaries.
Thanks. Okay, a couple minutes,
okay.
And then, yeah.
Okay, well, I think one of the hardest things going into being selected as a shepherd was that the people who know me and love me the most know that I am a deep feeler, that I take on other people's feelings, and I can even walk into the sanctuary, and I can kind of sense what everybody's feeling, and it has been a burden all of my life, and I never really learned any good strategies growing up, how to handle that. I can remember, like, in the third grade, a new little boy had come from somewhere in Eastern Europe, and the kids were making fun of him at lunch, and I just couldn't handle it. So I did the thing that made the most sense to me and hid in the bushes on the playground until my teacher came out and said, "Wendy, that didn't happen to you. That wasn't," and that sort of made some sense, but there wasn't any, you know, you've got to find a way to separate yourself from the problems of other people. And somehow, I started in therapy with June a week after I met her, and have been working on it ever since. So somehow, even though we were in the eldership for about 10 minutes when the first big tsunami problem came our way, I could feel myself being able to leave it a little bit. Prayed about it, cared about it, but somehow it didn't feel like it was happening to me. So that has been the hardest thing. And the joy, to me, the joy is when we all get together, the shepherds. There is this beautiful blend of support and encouragement. And I was nervous about that when we were going to be the first women. I thought, you know, it may not be, if I even pick up that there's people not wanting us there in that group or concerned about what we're going to be like, it would have been really hard for me. But it never was that way. Oh, well, there was, you know, my brother likes to tease me, and there was that. And now Lou's kind of taken up the reins, but but for the most part, it is this beautiful synchronicity and blend of our souls. I think women offer a different perspective, and men offer their own strength, and it just is a wonderful blend.
Thank you, Wendy. I think recognizing joys and other things that were mentioned, and my joy, deepest joy, I think, is to know that I'm with others in this, and others who are different from me and bring different perspectives and experiences, and just the value of that, and the goodness of working with people who I admire, and I think that brings joy. Burden is just the limitations that we bring, and, you know, the care and concern for other humans, and knowing complexities and the challenges, and we butt up against our limitations and walk away feeling like, yeah, that was the best we could do, discerning, but it is us, and we are limited, so.
Good, thank you. I think we better close. So let me say this. Questions from the congregation. We're not going to have time to do that publicly, but will you ask them questions individually if you have them so that we can continue this conversation? This whole process is meant to be as much conversation as possible with one another. So as you're praying about this, praying over our congregation and praying over who might be called to serve as a shepherd, I'd also like to encourage you to pray just... if someone nominates you, would you accept the role of shepherd? You know, maybe just ask yourself ahead of time. Just be thinking about it a little bit, but also be praying for others in our community. You know, every week we do two things on purpose. We have the shepherds come up and serve communion. As a reminder of what this leadership role is, it's a leadership built out of service. That's its whole purpose, is to serve this congregation. And so they're up here to demonstrate that. And then second, we have them come up at the end of service once a week. There's one shepherd who blesses, because as Linda was saying, their whole purpose in pastoring you is to bless you. And so we have them up every week to remind ourselves that's the role of a shepherd. Serve and bless. And then, of course, behind closed doors, they sometimes have to deal with difficult issues as well. And life wisdom and experience helps them with that. So ask them questions, please, if you have questions, and continue the conversations with one another. Please be praying about this, about others, about yourself. Please be in conversation. And we'll continue next week discerning together with a few guided questions and saying out loud some of the names that come to mind for us as we move further into this process. Thanks for the attention, and we'll see you all back in 5 minutes or so. Oh, and let's thank our shepherds. Yeah.